Okay, back to Holiness and Obedience, Part 2. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That's a pretty powerful verse. Judgment starts with us, the saints, and what's going to happen to the people that don't obey the gospel? It's a serious, serious thing. The call to obedience is serious in the New Testament. I just gave you a few scriptures. There's a lot more. I'm going to leave you with this one. I use this all the time street preaching. And people, when I tell them this, that Jesus is coming back with a flaming sword, they shake their head no. And when I quote this verse, they walk away. I hope it cuts them. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus coming back with a flaming sword, taking vengeance, destroying those. Now think about this. Jesus obeyed the Father perfectly. That's part of the gospel. What does it say? Not obeying the gospel. We're to obey the Father's word. So obedience, very clear. And I need to state this. This is the obvious, but I need to state it on this teaching. The few of us that I know that are striving hard to obey God in holiness and obedience and all of his commandments, I want to be clear about this. This is not self-righteousness. Many people accuse us of this. We know we need Christ's perfect work, his shed blood, his perfect righteousness, as I said. We can't even approach the throne without that. We know also we could not do any of this that we strive to do without Christ in us, the Spirit in us, and the Word working in us. To those who say that we're prideful, that we're doing works of salvation, they really need to go and they need to read Jesus' own words in John 15:5. Jesus said this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Not a little fruit, not some fruit, much fruit. And this, for without me ye can do nothing. So it's not prideful to rely on Christ and the Spirit and the Word to walk in holiness and obedience if you know you need his perfect righteousness and his shed blood. The only way it's self-righteous is if you proclaim, I don't need Jesus' blood. I don't need the Spirit. I don't need the Word. I'm a good person. And we hear that all the time in the street. So to combine the two, Jesus' shed blood, perfect righteousness, his resurrection, with the Spirit, with the Word, and with works of holiness and obedience, it's not self-righteous at all. It's actually the gospel that leads to eternal life. So I just wanted to cover that right there. Our works are striving for the fruit that Jesus talked about. They're glorifying to God, and we know it's all him working in us. So he gets the glory anyway. So no matter how much good I do, I tell people all the time. People say to me, wow, you guys do a lot of stuff. And I go, hold on, I can do nothing. I boast in Christ. Without him, I'd still be a worldly drunk. So as God is working in me and I'm pouring out the works I try to do, God's getting the glory. It's not about me. All right. So that's a very important point that I want to make clear here. So don't let anyone ever dissuade you, saints, from obeying God, making you feel like it's self-righteous or you're working your way to heaven. No, not at all. Not if you have the biblical gospel. In fact, it's pleasing to our Father. Ready? 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Do you notice it doesn't say, I have no greater joy to know that my children are living in willful sin just relying on the sacrifice of Christ. No, they walk in the truth. Why? Because they've been changed. They have a new heart. They have a new mind. They want to glorify and honor the Father, and he's working in them. So this process of obeying is really the fruit of knowing God via the Holy Spirit. It's the evidence, and the result of it is called holiness. So the evidence is the Holy Spirit working in us. The fruit is this obedience that we're striving for, and it ends up being holiness. When you obey God, you end up holy before God. Now, again, we need Christ's perfect holiness. I ruined my perfect holiness long ago. I'm sure you did too. But we can be washed in the blood, cleansed, made fit for the kingdom of God, and then living out this life here on earth to glorify our Father, not walking in sin, but blameless as Peter says. Now let's get to holiness in the scripture. So we have obedience. Obedience, I contend, leads to holiness. The first thing I need to do here is remind you that when the Spirit enters us, we are born again, right? What Spirit enters us? Ask yourself. It's the Holy Spirit of God. That's who lives inside of us. And that Spirit of God brings holiness and obedience, right? Not disobedience, not carnality, not lukewarmness, not false ways. No, so remember that. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So to contend that you need to walk in holiness makes perfect sense, saints. It makes absolute perfect sense. So let's get to holiness. One of my favorite verses for holiness is 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all your manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Notice in this verse right here, I have men in the street tell me, you can't be holy. You know what? They're liars. It says, be ye holy. My Father does not call us to do something we can't do. Because of the Spirit, because of the Word, because of Christ in us, we can strive and we can be holy. The Word of God tells us that. That word in the Greek is hagios. It means pure, blameless, consecrated, set apart. What are we set apart for? The service, the purpose, and the glory of God. Isn't that beautiful? Our obedience sets us apart for the service, purpose, and glory of God. So let's look at some more verses on holiness. Let's go back to the Old Testament. As I told you, God always wanted an obedient, holy people for himself. Exodus 19:6. God said, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God was looking for holy people. And in the New Testament, the command is still the same. It has not changed, right? Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, you can read right into the scripture right there. If you're not living holy, you're not acceptable to God. That's what it says. A living sacrifice, holy, that's acceptable to God. That's your reasonable service as a priest of the Most High. What a glorious thing. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There it is again. Holy, without blame. You don't live without blame by living in willful sin and worldliness and carnality. It's impossible. Ephesians 5:27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. There's our charge. Christ washes us, cleanses us, cleans us up. Then we're to walk holy before him for the glory of our King. If a king picked you up out of the gutter and washed you up, cleaned you up, and gave you a robe or a tunic and said, now go represent me, would you jump back in the mud wallow? No, I think you'd be pretty grateful. And I think you'd want to represent that king, let alone we're talking about the Creator God of the universe here. How wicked to not want to carry yourself in the absolute most holy, obedient way because of his shed blood. 1 Thess 4:7. Does this verse get any clearer? For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. God's called us to holiness. We have a choice. We have a free will, right? Yeah. We can choose these things. Now, this verse here teaches us, it's a warning, without holiness, no one will see God. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. So, this is all a package. This isn't something you cannot separate out. We need Christ. We need the repentance. We need the Word. We need the Holy Spirit. The fruit is holiness and obedience. You can't pull these things out and create your own gospel like everyone does. It's going to lead you with an accursed gospel. Galatians 1. Don't let that happen to you. When we obey God, I've said it again, we become holy for him, and it's through him, by him, it's not of us. It's the fruit of God's Spirit working in us as we walk in covenant with Him. Forget this idea of relationship. I don't know about you. Jesus is not appearing in front of me. We don't have a relationship with Jesus like I have with my wife or I have with other saints. We have a covenant, and we're believing and hoping for what's unseen. And He's coming back for us one day. So we're walking in this blood covenant, in holiness, in obedience. There's so many verses on holiness and obedience. We could spend a lot of time here, but I think I've covered it pretty well. Don't listen to all the liars and false teachers that say you can't obey, you can't be holy, you don't need to do any of those things for salvation. We're not doing them for salvation. We're doing them as a fruit of God working in us. Let's make that clear. They're void of the full truth. They're false workers of Satan. They love their sin. They love their flesh, their carnality. They walk in unrighteousness and sin, like Paul said. Reject them. Have nothing to do with them. When I am out in the street and we're witnessing and I'm street preaching, the Word of God is a sword, Hebrews 4:12. And it cuts and it exposes these false teachers. And it's amazing. They'll blurt out these false ways. And when I pull out my sword, the Word of God, and say, that's not true, let me read Scripture to you, off they run in the dark, because all they want to do is believe what they want to believe. They don't want to cling to the Word of God. They're defending their sin, and they're going to be guilty before a holy God one day. I don't want that for them. That's why we go teach and call them to repentance. So in closing here, let's go back and remember the gospel path. This is what I'm doing a teaching on, surmising all of this. Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His finished work, and His resurrection. That's the beginning of the gospel path to good life, the good news. Repenting, changing your mind, turning from the world, your ways, your flesh, your false man-made religion, the carnality, whatever, the culture, to be a vessel of Him. When God sees this, He does a work in us. We can't do the work. He does a work in us, gives us a new heart, a new mind. We're born again. Now, let's get to what we just taught about. The result of that, faith and repentance and being born again by God's Spirit, is holiness, I should say, obedience, leading to holiness. It's the natural fruit. A man marries a woman, says he loves her, he protects her, he provides, he's faithful. A woman marries a man, says she's committed and loves him, she's faithful, she bears his children if she can, she takes care of the home, she honors him. No one with a husband or wife who does not do that is considered a biblical, godly husband or wife. Yet all these believers out in the world will say, you don't have to obey. You're going to sin all the time. That's an absolute lie. So holiness, or I should say obeying leading to holiness, I like to keep that order, is very clear in the Scriptures. It's part of the gospel. And we've covered all four of those. The only one left now is the ending of the path to eternal life, which would be enduring in all these things. We have to endure. None of the above is going to have any effect on us unless we continue and abide and endure in those things. So we'll be discussing that next time at our next teaching, Enduring in the Faith. I hope this teaching has shown you, saints, proving to you, using Scriptures, that obeying God is the fruit of His Spirit in you. The result is holiness. It's inseparable from the biblical gospel and the path to eternal life. You cannot get there without Christ's perfect righteousness. You also cannot live this life without desiring to obey God in holiness and obedience as fruit He's in you. It's the proof that you're a child of the King. How beautiful is that? And I leave you with this. If a person you know does not crave total obedience and holiness in all of their ways, how they live, talk, dress, spend their money, what they preach, who they associate with, what they do with their time, to please the Lord, the Creator God that purchased them with His own blood. Don't be deceived. This is clear evidence. They either have not the Spirit of God in them, they're just religious, or they're in rebellion and they're in sin, disobedience. Either one is not going to get them into the kingdom of God. They need to be warned in love, rebuked, and told, repent and seek after that Spirit, or turn from your sin, your disobedience, and your rebellion, and obey God in holiness. I want to encourage all of you saints that have listened, and anybody that reads this later online, go back and do a word search. I love word searches. Look up all the words on obedience and holiness, Old Testament, New Testament. you're going to come away with a solid foundation from the Father, not from me, of what He desires for His people. Obedience leading to holiness for His glory is the fruit of the Spirit and the Word working in you, all because of what Christ has done. See how beautiful that is? Without Him we can do nothing. With Him we can do much. Let your works, your fruit, your holiness and obedience, let your tree be full of fruit for this glorious Savior. I hope you've enjoyed this. This has been Brother Jim. Thanks for listening. Again, go to the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. Go to the gospel link. You'll find all the other additions to this series there. And until I can come to you again, Lord willing, go out and have a joyous day. And may God be praised.